Good. That's very good. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Lapp. I appreciate you so very, very much. What a blessing that is. You know, I like to see people that the song gets a hold of them, because if it gets a hold of them, it just might get a hold of you. And so what a blessing. It reminds me so much, my dear wife, remember Mike Lovell. Mike Lovell is a member of Central Baptist Church. Mike and I went to school together, college that is, and so Mike would get up to sing, Brother Palmore, and he couldn't help but smile. I mean, he just couldn't help but smile. But when Mike smiled, he didn't smile here. He smiled here, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, he's rising up as he's singing, and you could just tell he probably is getting ready to leave the platform and take a lap or something. But just a wonderful thing. God bless you, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I want to preach tonight on all tenants. All tenants should obey their landlord. All tenants should obey their landlord. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Are you trying to get somebody to pay their monthly bill? Well, more than that, I'm afraid. Here's what we see. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, what? Almost like shock. What? You don't know this? What? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and watch it, and you're not your own? It's almost like, don't you know this already? What? Don't you know that your body's not your own? Don't you know that you've been bought with a price? Don't you know that that you belong to God? You have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that? What? Then he says this in verse 20. He says, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, the Bible says we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's amazing to me how you can go to a ball game and shout, but you can't say amen in church. That's amazing to me. You can hear an eternal truth and sit there like a bump on a log, but you go to a ball game and watch a lost guy bounce a basketball down a court, not even saved, and you get up and shout for him. I'm not preaching yet. I'm just advertising. Now, I'm saying tonight that I think that it's important that we get our priorities right. Here's what we see. The Bible says that you're bought with a price. The Bible says you ought to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. I don't think I'm going to be able. I like to put humor in a message sometimes because I lose different ones. But tonight I'm not going to do that. Tonight I'm just going to shoot it straight. And I want you to understand what the Bible teaches here. Young people have to be very careful, especially during this time of year. During this time of year, when you get around the March, April time, they're planning what they're going to do for the fall. They're planning on, will I go to Bible college or not? Will I go to a secular college or not? Listen to me. Will I serve God or not? And they're planning that around this time of year. I've heard young people say this, well, I want to do whatever I want to do with my life. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a wrong attitude. You are not supposed to do what you want to do with your life. You're supposed to do what God wants you to do with your life. You know, your life doesn't belong to you. Your life belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. You ought to be honoring God with every fabric of energy that you possess inside of your life. Now, I want to give you some things to think about tonight. Statement number one, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within you. Your body belongs to God. Listen to it, verse 19 again, as I emphasize here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, by the way, if it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, then don't you think you ought to keep it holy? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, but as he, it says, which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle. All right, so God says, the one that has called you is holy, and because he is holy, so ought you to be holy in your lifestyle. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, because it is written, be holy, listen to it now, for I am holy. So God says, look, you're supposed to be holy because I am holy. Now, that word holy, if you would, it means that you're consecrated unto his use, if you will. It means, if you would please, that you're owned by him. You're not supposed to try to do the things that you're wanting to do or that you think you're supposed to do. And so statement number one, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Statement number two, think about this. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. Everywhere you go, if you're a believer, the Holy Ghost goes. Everything that you pick up is either a blessing to the Holy Ghost or is an offense to the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you. Notice our text verse again over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Watch the rest of it as I break it down. The Bible says, what? You know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now watch it now. Which is in you? Which is in you? So the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Oh, you say that sounds charismatic. No, that sounds like Bible. The Holy Ghost of God dwells inside of you as a believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, know ye not? It says listen to it now, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit, capital S, of God dwelleth in you. So the temple of God, if you would please, is that which is you with that which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, it says, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Okay, now wait a minute. How is it that a man could defile the temple of God? You can defile the temple of God by smoking cigarettes. You can defile the temple of God by having sex outside of marriage. You can defile the temple of God by drinking liquor. You can defile... Oh, you're kind of quiet tonight. Remember, I tried to get you to say amen earlier. You can defile the temple of God by doing drugs. You can defile the temple of God. Don't take your shoe off and throw it at me now. By overeating. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Now, you're supposed to be holy unto God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So stop acting like you belong to you. Well, I'll tell you what, preacher. I'll do what I want to do. You have no right to do what you want to do. You have only a right to obey God. You have only a right to do what God wants you to do. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll look at this dirty magazine. Then that's putting filth inside of your head and you're defiling the temple of God. Well, I'll watch this movie. It doesn't matter. I'll go over to a friend's house and I'll watch a movie, and it's going to have girls that's not dressed in there, and it's going to have all sorts of music. It's going to pollute my mind and even make me think about taking somebody else's life or destroying my own life. No, no, no. You're not supposed to do that. Why? Because you don't belong to you. You belong to God. Oh, think about this, my dear friend. I said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Statement number two, the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Statement number three, think about this. You are the tenant, if you would. You're the tenant in the body that belongs to God. You're the tenant in the body that belongs to God. Your body, the Bible says, is bought with a price. When you sin against your body, you sin against your mom and your daddy, and you sin against God himself. Why? Because you do not own yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, as we continue in that verse, for emphasis' sake, listen to it as I read. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Okay, comparatively speaking, it's like that you borrowed somebody's vehicle and you're driving somebody else's vehicle around. That vehicle doesn't belong to you. Therefore, you ought not to trash it. Therefore, you ought not to wreck it. Therefore, you ought not to be clumsy with it. Therefore, you ought to take extra care of it. Well, it's just like renting an apartment or renting a house. I tell you what, we owned about five properties or so before I became pastor here, and I sold them. We didn't do it anymore, but we owned five properties, apartments and whatnot, and I sold them all. When I became pastor, I realized I didn't have time to probably care for them like I should. They were in Mississippi. I was here. So we sold them. Did you know? I wish that everybody would have read this and said, okay, I'm going to be a good tenant. I didn't have good tenants. Now, I was the property owner. I was the landlord. And so I commissioned a lady that worked for me, and she was my property manager. And oh, my. She kicked more people out of those places than you could shake a stick at. Now, can I tell you, listen, the Bible is talking here about God owns you. I want you to think about this, if you will. If God owns you and you're like a rental home, then God is the landlord. God is the landlord. If you're like a piece of property, God is the landlord and the Holy Ghost is the property manager. The Holy Ghost is the property manager. They try and make sure that you get convicted, if you will, when you do things. They'll come by from time to time and they'll say, look, there's some trash that's in your life or in your yard if we're dealing with real property. There's some trash that's in your life. There's some trash that's in your yard. You need to clean it up. Holy Ghost reminds you of that. And when you walk with God like you should walk with God, you don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher preaches on stuff like that. You thank God for the preacher that gets up and says, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be going that way. You're supposed to be behaving as a child of God. You don't get mad at the preacher. All right, but that rental home, God, if you would please, is like the landlord, if you will. The Holy Ghost is like that property manager. And what are you? Well, you're the tenant. You're the tenant. When I had properties, I laid down some rules. The rules was not to destroy the property. They didn't obey the rules, but that was the rules. Now, can I tell you this? I'm saying that the Bible talks here about the tenant, if you would. You are like that tenant. Your body belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, the Bible says you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to get you to say amen. I'm just asking you a question. How come you have a difficult time smiling in church when sin is preached on? Why does it bother you when the preacher preaches on hell? Why does it bother you when the preacher preaches on holy living? Why does it bother you? Why is it all of a sudden you've got to pay attention to your cell phone like you're a president of some highfalutin company and you've got to be on call? Like you're the first surgeon of all and you're expecting an urgent phone call and so therefore I've got to keep my phone on speed dial. No, may I say this, if you will. Here's what it says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your spirit. I wonder what it would be like if Parkside Baptist Church would become a spirit-filled church. I just wonder. I wonder if you'd be more excited in the church than getting out of the church. I wonder what it would be like if the preacher got up and he preached on something. I wonder what it would be like if all the men started saying amen. You say, we'd run off the visitors. I don't think so. I think they'd come because they'd say, boy, that's the way church ought to be. I wonder what it would be like if you got up and you sang, but when you sang, you smiled when you sang. Instead of looking like that somebody was back there twisting your arm and making you sing, what would happen if you smiled? What would happen if all of a sudden you started coming to the altar when God spoke to your heart? I'm just being honest with you, folks. I don't know why people don't come to an altar. I'm just trying to help you. My boys came to me one day and they said, Daddy, when should we go to the altar? I said, let's reason together. I think you ought to go to the altar when God speaks to your heart. How many agree with that? I'm going to say it again. How many agree with that? Here's another thing they said. Okay. I said, but I'm not done yet. I said, I think you ought to go to the altar when God don't speak to your heart. He said, what's the reason about that, preacher? Because there's something wrong with you. The Bible says that God's word is not going to return void. If you're sitting there and God's not speaking to you, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. You said, sounds to me like you expect people to go to the altar all the time. I'm saying doesn't sound like a bad idea to me. I've seen this. I've seen that people that keep the altar hot normally do not get a cold heart. People that keep their hearts tender normally don't drift off into sin. People that come to church and they look forward to getting something out of the Bible normally do. You come to church and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just sit in one of these not so obvious seats so that nobody gets in my business. Well, God's already in your business. God got in your business, my friend, the day you got saved. He got more in your business because now you're one of His. And it's not your business anymore. It's His business. Some people, they don't get it. They just don't get it. What are you going to do with your life? Well, this is what I'm going to do. Why are you going to do that? Because I want to. What about God? Amen. Well, I'm not going to go to Bible college because I don't want that type of degree. What type of degree you want? Why do you need a degree? Well, I need it for my profession. Well, I've got that. I understand that. I mean, I'd rather have a dentist that works on my teeth that has a degree in dentistry. A proven degree in dentistry. If you're going to operate on me and take out one of my body parts, I don't want to be your first patient. I want you to have a degree with practice. My fear is today that most people don't have that practice. Most people get up in the morning time, they eat their cereal, they eat their Wheaties. Most people go throughout the entire day without seeking God in one iota. Most people, if you would please, could live life as a Christian without even having God to work in their life. They come to church and they leave church the same way they came. They came to church with problems, and they're so used to embracing and loving their problems that they carry their problems with them when they leave church. Now, can I tell you, it ought not be that way. We ought to be a people that come to God and realize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells in you, and you're simply a tenant in that body. You do not belong to yourself. Now, what's that mean? That means this. That means that if I buy the car, I buy the whole thing. I don't just buy the steering wheel. I own the tires. I own the seats. Yes, and even those pesky seat belts. I own them. I own the trunk, and I own everything about that car. When God bought you, can I tell you, now your hair belongs to Him. I'm talking about your skin belongs to Him. He owns all of you. He owns your ears, and He owns your eyes. He owns your lips. He owns your tongue. He owns your fingers. He owns your hands. He owns your feet. He owns the toes that's on the end of that foot. Can I tell you, He owns every body part. He owns you in your entirety. Now, because of that, you have no right to do what you think you have a right to do without it being that which would glorify God. I'm saying that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying tonight that the Holy Ghost dwells in you. I'm saying tonight that you are a tenant in a body that belongs to God. Statement number next. That means I'm supposed to glorify God. Listen to me, with what God gave me. I'm supposed to glorify God with what God gave me. By the way, if God gave you a talent, don't use it for the world. Use it for God. God gave you an ability. Why aren't you using it for God? Why is it that you put more time in building yourself than you do helping, if you will please, to advance the gospel of Christ? I'm saying this tonight. 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 6 and verse 20. You're bought with a price. Therefore, I said, I am to glorify God in what God gave me. It says, therefore, glorify God. It says, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You get around some people and they got poochie lip all the time. Makes me wonder. Makes me wonder. How's their walk with God? Why can't they ever smile? I'm not saying they got to walk around looking like a goober. That would be unnatural too. I met some people that walk around looking like goobers all the time, and normally they don't deal with a full deck. The light's on and nobody's home. The popcorn's not in the machine, therefore it would never pop. I'm saying that's not natural. But why is it that some people never smile? Why is it that some people are never happy? You know, go find yourself a Coca-Cola and drink it. They used to say that Coca-Cola would bring joy. If you got to have it in that way, but I tell you a better way. For the child of God, you can get close to God and God can use you. Listen to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat, listen to it now, or drink, listen to it now, or whatsoever you do, do all, here it comes again, to the glory of God. Amen. Do all to the glory. Okay, I'm asking you a question. That little game that you got, you know, that you're playing? You're sitting there playing that game? The game that you're playing? That I'm talking to you. The game that you're playing? Can you really do that to the glory of God? All that stuff that you're Facebooking? Tearing down somebody else's character, trying to lift yourself up to be somebody because you know that you're not, you need extra help. Can you really do that for the glory of God? Oh yeah, you say, preacher, I tell you what, I can quit smoking anytime I want. I can do it anytime I want. But you're not. Can you really continue with a clear conscience to do that to the glory of God? Put that jaw of tobacco in your mouth, wad it from one side to the other, staining across the bridges of your teeth. And I'm talking to the women tonight. Can you really do that for the glory of God? Those skimpy type of outfits you put on so that everybody in their brotherhood, they see all the curves that you have. Come on. Can you continue to do that as a lady to the glory of God? That music that you have in the home, those movies that you watch that's X-rated, R-rated, or whatever other type of disgusting ratings that they put on them today. Can you really continue to do that for the glory of God? Talking bad about your brother, talking bad about your sister in Christ, chewing them up and spitting them out like dog meat. Can you continue to do that to the glory of God? Trying to steal, if you would please, from your brother or sister. Every time they buy a brand new pair of shoes, they wind up on your feet first. Can you continue to do that to the glory of God? Can you hide behind some wooden post as you and your sister get together and you're talking bad about your dad, bad about your dad, bad about your dad, bad about your mama, bad about your mama, bad about your mama, bad about each other? Can you really continue to do that for the glory of God? Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. The Bible says, give none offense, neither it says to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, listen to it now, nor to the Church of God. Let me read you some statistics. May I do it? 71.6% of adults ages 20 and, oh, I'm talking about statistics recorded 2021 in America. 71.6% of adults age 20 and older are overweight, including obesity. Where's the glory of God in that? 66% of all adults in the United States are considered medically dependent. 20 million new cases of STD occurs in the United States every year. It's estimated that 68 million people living in the United States have STD. More than 480,000 Americans die every year because of tobacco-related disease. 1.25 million emergency room visits is because of that which is illicit drugs. 1.24 million people that go to the ER is because of they have non-medical use of pharmaceutical drugs. And over half of them in the ER is drugs combined with alcohol. One in five, that's 22% of all high school seniors last year, 2021, had smoked marijuana at least in the past month. 1.3 million pornographic websites, 260 million website pages. 1.3 million pornographic websites, I said. I said 260 million web pages. You better help to guard the mind of your young person. Listen to it tonight. 2.5 billion daily pornographic emails that are sent and received. 40 million U.S. adults regularly visit pornographic websites. 47% of Christians say that pornography is a major problem in their home. 60% of teenagers become physically active in high school. 750,000 U.S. teenagers have a child every year. The highest rate of pregnancies, abortions, and childbearing is among teenagers in the United States and is a record high in the industrial world. 89% of the teenage births are from those that are unmarried teenagers. 63% of the teen mothers receive assistance for the first year of the childbirth, and half of that which is welfare recipients in America are teenage mothers. Half of that. 78% of all babies are born to teenagers are born in poor or low-income homes. 78%, if you would, of those, I said, of those that are born in the teenagers come from poor homes. That's why we run the buses. These kids that came in from our B Sunday school and filled that area over there this morning, those kids need us. They need you. They filled up that total space up there this morning, those that ride our B bus routes, and they came to church, and we're going to start doing that every so often. They need to be able to see what church is like. They need to see there's hope on the other side. May I say this? May I say it's terrible, but it's true that 50% of all teen mothers drop out of high school. They never complete it. You said, well, preacher, you know, wait a minute, where does it all start? Well, I think it starts by the things that they watch, the influence that's allowed inside the home. I think it carries on through the computers and the books because they've not made a covenant with God with their eyes. I think it starts with the dirty, the filthy, rotten cigarettes that touch the lips, you ought not to ever be doing that. I think it starts with the touch of liquor. One time, I remind you, please, my daddy was not a drunk. My daddy was an electrical engineer. He had 400-plus men that worked under him. He was over all the Maryland National Banks in the entire state of Maryland. My daddy, to me, was like a walking genius. He made sure that all the Maryland National Banks were serviced in the entire state. Wait a minute. One day, he went down to a social that was held by those that were bosses over him and took his first social drink. The rest is history. He became an abusive drunk. But just one time. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Well, I'll just do it one time, preacher. It'll be okay. Then why are you still doing it? How's that working out for you? Well, I tell you what, I can do drugs just one time, preacher. It's okay. My friends do it. I can do it one time. It'll be okay. How's it working out for you? Well, preacher, I'll tell you what. I don't want my parents to tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do it when I want to do it. It doesn't matter to me, but it does matter to God. You think about this. Just one touch of a liquor bottle ruined their family. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. How can a Christian girl dress with hardly anything on, walking up and down the beach with all the other people, and see that that's right? I don't understand it. I'm saying this tonight. How is it that you can listen to ungodly music and think it's okay? Talks about murdering people, talks about doing drugs, talks about running with the wrong crowd, talks about how you can steal and get away with it. How in the world can a person that names the name of Christ be able to look at it and say, that's what I ought to do? I don't understand that. How can a Christian gossip and spread rumors and say that they're right with God? I don't understand it. How is it that a person can tell dirty jokes and laugh at them, or laugh at them when somebody else tells them? Why is it that a person would want to walk with the ungodly that's practicing ungodliness? Why would you want to be in dark places? Why would you want to sneak out late at night and go to a nightclub when nobody else is around? God's around. God's around. God's around. Do we not understand tonight that you belong to God? Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Unto the pure all things are pure. And unto them that are defiled," it says, "and unbelieving, is nothing pure." It says, "but even their mind and their consciousness is defiled." Okay. You have a person who has an unclean mind. Everything they see is unclean. Everything they see is unclean. Everything they see is unclean. Because their mind is unclean. You have a person that has a pure mind. And then they look at others as pure. They look at others and they have a great amount of grace because they've got that pure mind. They think, boy, you know, I believe that person's going to make it. I believe that person can do it. I believe that person can serve God. And they have a strong belief in people that God can be the miracle worker. Last verse I'll read, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, and listen to it now, this second epistle, he says, "Beloved," he says, "I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds," it says, "by way of remembrance." What's a preacher supposed to do? A preacher's supposed to come and stir up your pure minds. The world's already trying to stir up a corrupt mind. Let me help you. Teenagers, don't get infatuated with somebody that is not trying to be holy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't you do that. I've got a friend. I've got a cousin. I've got an aunt. I've got an uncle. And boy, they're living like the world. And boy, let me tell you, I wish I was like them. You ought not want to be like them. You ought to be one like him. Don't try and follow somebody else that's falling further and further away from God. It's not a good example. By the way, and you know better. So what do? You follow him. You be close to him. You walk with him. Allow him to answer your prayer. Allow him to be able to work inside of you. I was at River Valley Ranch, not a good ranch today. Millers, Maryland. Never forget. I got saved. I found out that there was a ranch, a Christian ranch. And on Friday nights, they'd have movie night. Movie night. And so, River Valley Ranch, movie night, every Friday night. And, Saturday night. Movie night. And so I would go over and watch it on Saturday nights, every Saturday night, went to the movie night. Did that for an entire year, never missed a Saturday evening. I'd go over there and watch the movies with all the other young people that would gather in that 500-seat tabernacle. And we'd watch a movie. It was a Christian film. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed learning from other people's lives how to be more consecrated and live for God. Every week they had a camp speaker, and on Friday nights the general public was invited. So on Friday nights at the camp, I always went. Every Friday night, I'd get off work early, never would forget. I'd hand my shift off to somebody else. I'd say, I'm going to go. I want to hear more preaching. So I'd go over to the River Eye Ranch, Millers, Maryland. Not a good camp today. But I'd go there, and I'd listen to the preaching. I never forget a fellow by the name of Ron Riley. Traveling evangelist, Ron Riley. Ron Riley got up and he preached one night on sold-out Christians. Sold-out Christians. Never heard anything like it in my entire life. And I said, that's me. Brother Tommy, I said, that's me. That's got to be me. I want to give God everything. I don't hold back nothing. Nothing. God, I want you to have everything I've got. Everything. I don't want to hold back nothing. I'm giving it to you now, and I'm giving it to you now for the rest of the days of my life. You've got all of me. I never had a dream to become big in business. I never had a dream that way. I just never had a dream that way. If God would have given me that dream, wanted me to do it, I'd be the biggest business person in supporting the work of God, greater than anybody to ever believe could ever do it in their life. But that wasn't God's will for my life. I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I went to Bible college because I was behind. I was ignorant. I was stupid. I'd go to church, and they'd say, turn if you would, please. And they'd tell me where to turn. And I'm like, I didn't know where to turn. I never will forget a seventh grader sitting beside me when I was 18 years of age. And they said, turn to the book of Malachi, or turn to the book of Jeremiah. I'd be thumbing back here in the New Testament. And that little teenager, seventh grader sitting beside me, said, I'll help you. He'd turn it over for me. He'd find it for me. Yeah. Oh, but, and I was so appreciative, but I was so embarrassed. Here I am 18 years of age, and I don't know the Bible like I should. Can I tell you, Nathan, I was just so embarrassed. I'd sit there. I was number one in sports program, North Carolina High School, had broken several state records. Here I'm sitting in church, JJ. Here I am. I was popular in high school, Brother Barker. And here I am sitting there in church, in a little seventh grader, turning in my Bible. I went to my pastor and I said, I'm behind. I'm just behind. I don't know what to do. I'm almost embarrassed to come to church. I'm just so far behind. Had long hair. It got me involved in this, got me involved in that, I think trying to keep me, and they did. But I felt so behind. And so I went to my pastor one day, I said, I just need help. I'm just not getting it. I need extra help. He said, Mike, what you need to do is go to Bible college. I said, Bible what? He said, Bible college. That's where they major on teaching the Bible. That's what sounds good to me. Where should I go? He said, I can't tell you where to go. You have to rely on God. This is where it gets silly. He said, I suggest that you pray and fast. I didn't hear the and. I heard pray fast. I was a track runner. I had my little stopwatch. And back then, I was so ignorant. Now, I was honest, but I was ignorant. I wanted to please God with everything I had, Brother Hahn, and it's still that way today. Where I want to please God with everything I've got. But I remember getting that stopwatch, and I tell the story when I preach to the young people, and all, they laugh, and I don't blame them for laughing. I look back now and I laugh. But I did. I was so ignorant. And Brother Bachman, I needed somebody like you in my life years ago. But I'd take that stopwatch, and Josh, I'd hit the stopwatch, and I'd go down real quick, and I'd say, Dear God, look at that stopwatch. That was a good one. But I think I'd make it better. And I'd go down. God heard that one for sure. But I always had a heart that wanted to please God. If I learned about something, I was the first one that said, I'm going to do it. I might not be good at it, but I'm going to do it. Then I went off to Bible college, and I walked in. You know some of the stories. I walked in, and I was the only, I just got done working a rodeo that summer. I had blue jeans on it, a pair of cowboy boots, cowboy buckle, flannel shirt, going to Bible college in Florida. I looked like a sight. Had long hair. I said, I came to get in. Now, you understand, I came from a pretty good family. But I said, I came to get in. They said, we know where you need to go. Got in the vehicle, and they took me down to the rescue mission. I said, this is the wrong place to get in. It's not it. Take me back. They said, we're not taking you back. Get out of the car. I said, I'm not getting out of the car. Take me back. They said, we're not taking you back. This is where you belong. I said, you'll drive the car back, or I'll push you out, and I'll drive the car back. Take me back. I went back. I stood before the register. She said, how are you going to pay? I said, God told me to come. God will pay. She said, you have no money? I said, nobody told me about having money when I come to Bible college. I'll get money. I know how to work. Amen. Well, we don't think you'll make it. I said, I can come here because of what you think. I came here because God told me to come. Now I'm getting in with or without you. She said, well, you can't do that. I said, I'm going to do it. And so she let me in. I don't think she had much of a choice. Walked into class, blue jeans, flannel shirt. All these people had these nice suits. I didn't like suits. I still don't like ties. But I think I ought to dress according to my office. God's given me a high calling. I want to represent him well. But in heaven, I'm not going to wear a tie. But I never forget, all these guys had nice suits. I prayed. I said, God, give me a suit. He gave me a pea green suit. Ugly as the day is long. I walked in. I was so happy. Had my pea green suit. That's back in the day, Brother Shipline, when they were reversible. You know, you remember those days? You're not old enough, I'm sure. But, you know, and man, that, you flip that baby over, you know. I mean, you know, on the inside, Brother Powers, you remember that, don't you? Yeah, okay, good. And so you flip one more. And so, boy, I was somebody now. And those boys laughed at me. I wasn't quite sanctified yet. I wanted to punch them out. But I prayed. That somebody said you pray for her, but you pray specifically. And God will give you what you asked for. Well, he said that. So, John, I did that. I said, God, you gave me a pea green suit, and I thank you for it. But I don't want it. Give me a blue one. You gave me a pea green one. You know your colors. So give me a blue one. You said you shouldn't talk to God that way. Nobody told me how to talk to God. So I said, give me a blue one. He gave me a blue one within 2 days. I got a blue suit. I found the guy that was laughing the hardest at me. Brother Lapp, I said, this is for you. You liked it so much you were laughing at it. I expect you to wear it. And again, you said, well, you didn't act all that Christian. I wasn't all that Christian. I just got saved. But can I tell you this? Boy, God began to work in my life. God began to tenderize my heart, Brother Bell, Brother Denton, and Brother Bell. And it's still been that way. You do not have a perfect pastor. You never will. But you've got a guy that's going to pull for you. You got a guy that's going to try and push you. If I were you, I think I'd just give it all I've got. Let's give it all that we've got together. See what God will do.